If you're an actor, as in any profession, you go where the work is. And sometimes you have to leave where the work isn't. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 269, Leaving Los Angeles. As I'm sure has been mentioned in previous podcast episodes, my family and I moved to Chicago last summer, but with all the touring I was doing, I didn't really start living there, here, until a month ago, just after Christmas. And although many, many friends remain in LA, other actor friends have also left Los Angeles in the past few years, and I realized that I was working with one of them, Mick Orff, last month in the Christmas show at Merrimack Rep. So before and after our closing night performance there, Mick and I talked about the many factors that went into our decision to leave. So Mick Orff, when did you leave LA?
I left LA in February of 2010. Okay. So it's not quite been 2 years.
Okay. And why? Why did you leave?
So my wife got a job. My wife works for Music Together. She got a job in the Princeton area, Princeton-Hopewell area.
New Jersey, okay.
New Jersey. She was already working for Music Together, teaching music to babies and mommies, and you go shake an egg and hit a drum. She really liked it. But this was working for the mothership, as she calls it, for the main company, which is headquartered there.
Right.
It turns out that I am from New Jersey.
As it happens, wow.
I just learned this, I'm from New Jersey. So my dad lives about an hour from Princeton, and my mom lives an hour in a different direction from Princeton. So it would be kind of nice to have the kids near their grandparents.
Yeah.
I know that the schools, no offense to LA schools, but the schools are way better, you know, in New Jersey.
Well, I'm not sure how the LA schools could get any more offensive than they already are.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're terrible.
And then, well, there were so many. Oh, and then also, like, we lived in the Valley. It was nice, but it was not the greatest neighborhood in the whole world. It was like, you know.
Yeah.
So there was all those reasons. And then finally, the one reason for us being in LA was for the film and TV work.
Yeah.
And I just simply wasn't getting that much of it. I wasn't even getting many auditions anymore. I was working for you guys and waiting tables.
Yeah.
And every once in a blue moon going out on a TV thing or a commercial audition. Yeah. And that stuff is still in New York anyway.
Yeah.
So
the table waiting and the auditioning.
The table waiting and the slim auditions.
So you had
the working for you guys. I can do all of those from anywhere.
So you had all kinds of reasons to move away. So despite all those reasons, was it tough leaving LA?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, for one thing, the weather. I know it's so cliche and everybody talks about it, and you're probably feeling it's way even worse than me in Chicago. Good Lord. But it's, you really do miss it after a while.
Yeah.
Now it's also cool. The kids are sledding and that snow stuff is fun. Yeah. We built like an 8-foot snowman last winter, you know. So all that's nice. But, you know, after 2 or 3 days in the snow, you're like, okay,
I'm ready for
the beach.
Yeah, ready for this to be gone. Yeah, well, no, I mean, we went through the exact same thing. You know,
why did you move?
Well, almost the same reason, except my wife didn't have a job, you know, but for all the same other reasons, I had done a lot of work in LA, and so when I was working in LA, and when Dee was working in LA, it was fantastic. I mean, we wrote for Disney, I got a lot of acting work on TV. Buttload of TV shows. Dee was on a handful of TV shows, and she was developing her work as a writer, but the business changed so dramatically.
Gosh.
In the wake of 9/11. And then in the
electronic submissions,
the rise of reality television, the writers' strike, which was one of the stupider strikes in recent memory, then the actors' strike, which topped the writers' strike
as far as stupidity goes,
and the actors and also the actors added to their stupidity by not merging their unions, Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA. So now there are, you know, there are two actors working in television have two unions, each of them competing to see who can pay you the least.
Yeah. That's right.
You know? And so you're not fighting for us. You're fighting to you're lowballing the producers so you can get the contract.
Yeah.
It's and actors are only now beginning 10 years later to figure out that this is a problem.
Imagine if you will a contractor, a construction guy who's going to hire a bunch of workers, but he's going to, you know, and he's competing with somebody else who could hire workers, and they're both going to lowball the bid so that the workers are getting $8 an hour instead of $12 an hour.
Right.
All it does is both of them hurt.
Yeah. You're working for the producers.
Yeah.
And I get it. Everybody wants work. But still, if you're getting so much work at for so little money, I mean, it has been explained to me by several managers and agents that I know, they're squeezing out the middle class actor. There are the stars, and then there are their extras.
And ironically, the stars now, ironically, because we're talking about lowballing and making things come in cheaper.
Yeah.
But now all that guest star work that you would have got is being done by movie stars now.
Yeah.
And then the you know, the one day guest star or the four scene co-star stuff that I would have gotten is being done by the people who used to do the guest star stuff. And now there's nothing. Now there's tiny one line roles that are given to the nephews of a producer or whoever. There's movie stars. There's nobody in between.
There's nobody in between. We can't afford it. And LA is California generally, but LA specifically is a hugely expensive place to live. And you want to be near where the work is. Now, and I'm from San Francisco Bay Area, so I'm supposed to have a Northern California prejudice against LA, and I don't. I liked LA. I still like it. As you say, the weather is fantastic. It's always a lovely 72 degrees. When you're working, it's like, yeah, baby, I'm working in Hollywood, living and working in Hollywood. This is all nothing better. But when you're not working, you start to look around and you go, why the hell am I living here? There's really no reason to live here unless you're a beach bum or somehow connected. I mean, it's not just the actors. It's all the peripheral industries that were connected to Hollywood that have gone by the wayside, too.
I will add one other thing that made it so hard was when I first got to LA. I did a handful of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all of those myself by driving my... You know, I'd get the breakdowns illegally and drive my picture over to the casting director's office and slip it under the door with a yellow sticky saying, consider Mick for this role.
Right. It's illegal because there's a stupid reason that actors are not allowed to get them. You have to be licensed as a manager or an agent. It's just stupid. But anyway, go on. Continue.
Or messenger it over there with mobile mailbox or at the very least mail something.
Right.
And they might have to sift through 300 pictures.
Yeah.
But occasionally they would, you know, I'd win that little lottery and I'd get the audition.
Right.
And agents, too, could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would be submitting me, too. When they went to electronic submissions, now instead of 300, they're getting 3,000 submissions, and they're probably not even looking. They're calling their five best agents that they know and saying, send me your three best people.
Well, and that's how I used to get work. I got work on several shows that were being cast by Janet Gilmore, who...
You knew her from college?
Yeah, Reed and I know her from Cal Berkeley. We did shows together at Cal Berkeley, and she became a casting director. She's also a fantastic actress, but she became a casting director.
She cast The Practice. My wife did an episode of The Practice.
Okay.
She had a little tiny part as a nurse.
And they don't even put out breakdowns for The Practice, David E. Kelley. And they would just go and say, Janet, all right, we need X number of lawyers this week. And so she would go down her list and she would say, and so when I did one episode 1 year, like 14 months later, they called me again. They said, what is your schedule like? They want you for three episodes. I'm going, for three episodes? In my mind, I'm going, David E. Kelley has seen my work and has created this character for me. But no, in fact, there's a DA role coming up that's going to be in three episodes, and Janet's going, all right, who's played a lawyer? Hey, Austin hasn't played a lawyer in a while. Why don't we get him? So they changed the name of the lawyer to the same lawyer I had been, and off we go.
Oh, that's perfect.
But it was still, that's great. You know, they call getting called for work, as opposed to having to audition, the best.
And David E. Kelley wasn't necessarily going, get that Titchener guy, he was fantastic. But he also wasn't going, oh, him again?
You know, I only just met him recently. I did a reading, a table read, for the pilot episode of Harry's Law with Kathy Bates.
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul McCrane couldn't be at the reading, so they called me in just to read his part at the table read because they had done some different, they had rewritten it somehow.
Was some part of you
you like,
hey, maybe they'll...
Yeah, totally. And they did call me, and they did call me later to say, hey, they want you for Harry's Law, but I was on the road with the RSC, so I couldn't go. But anyway, I finally met David Kelly. I walked to the end of the table. I said, David, I just want to introduce myself to you finally. He said, Austin, it's a pleasure after all these years. Because I did 5 episodes of The Practice.
I never met him.
3 episodes of Ally McBeal, 1 episode of Boston Legal, and never met him.
Oh, that's
and
too funny.
He said, you know what? I have leads, stars on my shows I've never met.
Hello, I'm Adrian Scarborough from TV's Gavin and Stacey, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Lucky you.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This winter, spring, and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K. Cities like Midland, Michigan, Fairfield, Connecticut, Stowe, Vermont, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, and New Philadelphia, Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, Tacoma and Edmonds, Washington, Sonoma and Santa Rosa, California, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma in May, and then we head over to the UK, to York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Canterbury, Leamington Spa, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Lichfield, Basingstoke, Crawley, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. So let me ask you this, Migorf. Do you regret at all leaving Los Angeles?
I really... try to live my life without a lot of regrets.
Ah, I'm with you. I'm with you, baby. Yeah. All right.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
Yeah. Was it a hard decision then?
It was a hard decision. This is going to sound so corny and cheeseball, but yeah. When we were talking about it, when we were really sifting through and we weighed all the pros and cons, it seemed like it was way better for the kids.
Yeah.
It was certainly better for my wife. And I was maybe the one who wasn't.
Right.
You know.
Most excited
yes.
about it. Yeah.
Really, really, truthfully, if I could be working as a garbage man in Iceland, and if I'm with the wife and kids,
yeah,
that's what I care the most about,
right.
is us all being together.
Right.
And if it was the right thing to do for them,
right.
I would do it. I would, you know, right. shovel turds in a stall in hell.
Right. It took me a couple of years. To when Dee and I first started talking about leaving. She had wanted to leave. This is the other problem. She's
been ready to go for a long
time. Yeah, she's been ready to go forever. But we had a lovely house. We had great friends. And we were both working. So it didn't make any sense except for those times when we weren't working.
Right.
And then when the job started going away, we were living in L.A. but not working in L.A. And that's when it really began to go, wait, why are we here?
Right.
You know, and I had a bit of regret. It took me a long time to come to the idea because I went, wait a second, it feels like anything else. If I've come here and I leave, then I will have failed or something, which is ridiculous. But I had a little twinge of that.
I totally went through the yeah. totally went through that too.
Right. Oh, I'm a failed actor.
Tail between my legs.
Yeah.
I'm running
yeah.
back to New Jersey
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like we don't have other things going on.
Right.
You know, like fantastic families, healthy kids.
Right.
You know, healthy, smart kids who deserve better schools than you get in L.A. And we could no longer afford the school we went to in LA. We were on significant financial aid. It was a private school because the public school wasn't an option.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a fairly good situation going. But boy, we moved to Chicago, and Dee is so much happier, and I'm really excited about because we lived there for 5 years in the Heights. I'm so excited about becoming again. Reintroducing myself to the Chicago theater community.
You lived there before.
Yeah, we lived there and I didn't work there because I was on the road with the RSC so much. But now I think there's more opportunities for me because I'm an older thing, and I think there's you know whatever films are shot there or commercials are shot there, we'll see how that goes.
But a terrific theater scene.
Fantastic theater community.
You're no slouch in the stage acting department.
Apparently, you know I have a little bit of experience on the stage. My resume is not terrible there, and so maybe. I can parlay that into a little something.
Maybe so.
You're looking forward. I mean, yeah. I mean, so it's not even looking on the bright side. I'm really excited. It feels like, you know, sort of a reinvention.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And yeah, and it's not, and just back to failed actors. Well, here we are on a job right now together. It's not like we're not acting.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we get to do this many, 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 many times.
Not like we're sitting in a cubicle pushing paper, buddy.
We're not working on the cube farm. No, we're not. This is what we do. And and the wives are happy. That's the most important.
Absolutely. No matter what, if the wives are happy, life is so much easier.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. As it happens, just this past weekend, the boards of both SAG and AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, and the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists have agreed to merge the two unions and have put it out to the memberships of both unions to vote on the plan's ratification. It might be too little, way too late, but we'll see what effect it has. Send us your moving plans via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, shipping and storage supervisor Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Skylarking, one of the many who have left reviews on our iTunes podcast page. No reason, it is just random. Special thanks to Adrian Scarborough from Gavin and Stacey, and more importantly, from the new Upstairs Downstairs. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 269/807 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh no, this is terrible because I'm contemplating moving to LA.
Right.
Tell me that.
Well, you'll want to listen to the rest of this podcast then, Rippey, before you move out to LA.
But Rippey will be fine because he's got the face, baby.
Yeah.
You
and I have faces for podcasts.
Yes.
Rippey has face for television.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.